Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Matthew chapter 14. The four different soils from the parable of the sower, remember them in the last chapter? Well, they all make cameos in this chapter. And we'll get to witness the different responses of people as they respond to the words of God. We'll see people who don't understand, people who are distracted by cares, and people who aren't willing to follow Jesus all the way. But we'll also see the good soil. But there's a more direct connection between John the Baptist and the chapter before that and the doubts he had about Jesus and who he was. In fact, we'll see fears and doubts make quite the cameo in this chapter, just like they do in our own lives. Let's get started in verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now, by this time, John the Baptist was dead. So Matthew gives us the backstory in verse 3. Now, Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." John's preaching about Herod seducing his sister-in-law got him locked up. But during his birthday banquet, being drunk, Herod promised to grant anything his stepdaughter wanted if she'll seductively dance nude for him and his guests. She asks for John the Baptist's head to be served at the dinner table. And though it haunts Herod at the time, he has no choice but to execute John and grant her macabre request. We're told in the other Gospels that Herod used to visit John to hear him preach. And so he was like the soil that believed, but his other desires, worries, and priorities choked out his reception of the word. It never bore fruit. John's message had been, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. But you know, my heart goes out to John the Baptist. He fears the worst in the earlier chapter, and then it happens. He loses his life for Jesus. It's a tragedy. It's like Jesus was giving his eulogy in the chapter before last, like he knew it was going to happen. And despite Jesus being who he is, people still suffer. Death still comes. Tragedy still strikes. But God is still in control. God is still haunting Herod. Jesus would go on to taste death for all of us, including the suffering, pain, and tragedy it brings. So let's go back to Jesus in verse 12. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," he answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the people picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. I love this. Can you imagine being the disciples? You want to send people home, but Jesus, being Jesus, has compassion on them and heals their sick. He ministers through his own brokenness and pain because that's who he is. Make no mistake, Jesus is in pain. He goes off to be by himself when he hears about John the Baptist. This is hard for him. But when the crowds find him, he pushes through. Now he begins to ask the disciples to do the same. And that is what mission often requires. In this case, Jesus gets the 12 to minister despite being hungry and tired themselves. They want to send everyone home? Jesus says, "No, you give them something to eat." And as they begin to hand out the bread, the miracle literally starts happening out of their hands. Isn't that amazing, my friend, that God uses imperfect people like you and I? I don't care for people like Jesus did, and neither did the 12. But that's not a requirement. Jesus ministers through his own brokenness and pain here, and the disciples do the same. That being said, Jesus still needs to be alone. Verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Jesus walks around the lake, needing to get some alone time with his Father, his friend, his cousin, partner in the work, and prophet proclaiming Jesus his personal hype man, just lost his life for Jesus, and Jesus needs to collect himself. So human, so much like us, so real. Verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus walked out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him coming on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" You can hear it in Jesus' voice. Peter was doing so well. He was almost there. And this reminds me a bit of John the Baptist. At one point, John the Baptist stopped looking at Jesus. A bit like Peter here. He stops looking at Jesus and looks at the wind and the waves on the water. Verse 30. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. My friend, we always sink when we look at the wind and waves instead of at Christ. John the Baptist looked at his circumstances, knowing he was going to die, and he started to buckle too. Jesus told him, "John, all the prophecies of the Old Testament are being fulfilled. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear." In other words, watch this space. You know, I'm encouraged to see how much like Peter and John the Baptist, these heroes of mine, are actually like you and me. They're no different, and God still uses them. My friend, maybe God is calling you to minister to others, despite your imperfections. Or maybe when you're hurting, you're being used to heal others. Maybe when you're hungry, you're being used to feed. Or you're in a prison, trusting God, but it's not looking good. Or he's asking you to come out him onto stormy waters, no matter what it is. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and you'll stay afloat. Jesus models a couple things for us in this chapter, ministering through his own brokenness. The disciples ministering through theirs, so that you and I can minister through ours. Verse 32, and when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter, in the end, is that good soil. He receives the word, and with it receives Jesus. And with him, all the apostles recognize, "You are the Son of God." And thus, at the very end of the chapter, we find Jesus landing at Gennesaret. And the men of that place, recognizing him, sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. And with that, the chapter ends with Jesus doing what he's been doing nonstop. He needs time alone with his Father. He's modeled for us that the only way to keep pushing through the pain is to keep your eyes fixed on the Father. For us, it's to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And thus, Jesus puts aside his own personal pain, and the chapter begins and ends the same, with Jesus pushing through it, through the hardship, through the pain, and loving others.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.